Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself.
We spent some time on the phone with John Doyle, the advocacy director of one of the nation's oldest bike coalitions, the Bike Coalition of Philadelphia. John helped us understand why bicycling is burgeoning there in the Liberty Bell City. From a huge workforce of bicycle food deliverers, to a mayor that is an ardent cyclist, Philadelphia is one up-and-coming bike city.
All right, John, so how are you doing today out there in Philadelphia?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, well, what's your weather like out there? That's something I need to know out here, as Californians like to know what the weather's like on the East Coast in a spring day.
It's probably a lot like California today. It's clear, it's about 65 degrees, and it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time of year to be in Philadelphia.
Wow. Is that atypical, 65 degrees in May? Or?
Yeah, well, generally we're 65 to 75 is a typical day.
Huh, great.
Time of year,
great.
Weather.
Right. Okay, now you've been doing Philadelphia NBG Day with us for about the last 3 years now. And I gambled this year in getting your mayor out, thinking that once we had him assured that I'd be able to use the press to alert those the ride bikes out your way to get them to come to our event. And, you know, I thought this pretty much since Mayor Street was an ardent cyclist, he'd be out there for us. And yet, from talking with you yesterday, I found out that even you guys have a hard time making sure he's going to be at your events. How could we have done yesterday differently?
I think the main thing is designating a local coordinator who will communicate with the local bicycle coalition and the mayor staff and anybody else in government that needs to be made into the loop. And if that is the case, then you'll probably get much better results. And planning is key.
Indeed.
But the main thing is a local contact is really important.
Okay.
It's a very busy week for us. Of course, we have our own bike week activities, so it's a real tough thing to fit in sometimes.
Okay. Now, is it really true that Mayor John Street is really an ardent cyclist? I mean,
yes, he is. He's an active cyclist. He walks to work every day. When he was in city council, he used to bicycle to work every day. He's one of the... He was one of the advocates for the City Bicycle Network, which was initiated in the mid-90s. And he's also a member of the Bicycle Club of Philadelphia, and he goes on many of their rides.
So what kind of cyclist is he? Is he kind of a road cyclist? Does he replace car trips? Is it more sport-type cycling for him? Or how does
He's a recreational cyclist, but his employees tell me that he's a pretty hard-charging guy. They have a hard time keeping up with him. He's also a physical activity guru or enthusiast. So he sees it as good exercise.
Great. And I understand from talking with his city rep, Janice Pierce, that John Street used to be a runner and kind of toggled into cycling because his knees or something like that gave out on him. Is that what you know?
Yeah, from what I remember, I did hear a story about that yeah, he was a runner and then he switched to cycling.
Okay, is it because of Mayor Street, is your work a lot easier there at the Bike Coalition?
I would say that it's easier now that we have a dialogue with the city. It's becoming easier all the time. Mm-hmm. I can say it that way. We've done more probably in the past 8 months than we have in the past 15 years as far as our communications with the city. When he was with City Council and Ed Rendell was the mayor, the City Bicycle Network and Bicycle Advisory Task Force was active. However, in the late 90s, the bicycle coordinator and the bicycle advisory task force was disbanded. But the streets department continued to put in bike lanes. We have 200 miles of bike lanes in the city. They've kind of done that automatically, and that's kind of dampened the negative effect of not having a bicycle coordinator.
Huh.
But on the other hand, it's a situation where no one's minding the store, And while the bike lanes are being taken care of, other issues such as maintenance and bicycle parking were being either neglected or having policies that kind of worked against. For example, for bike parking, there's an Adopt the Rack program, which requires that the employer has to, or the local business owner has to sign off on the bike rack. And the problem with that is if the owner sees bicycling as a viable way to get to his business, he'll sponsor it, but oftentimes they don't realize the benefits of that. So it can be a very inconsistent way to install bicycle racks.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about the Bike Coalition of Philadelphia in a second. I want to get our listeners a feel for what Philadelphia cycling is like. Are there lots of people on the road, a lot of people on bikes on the road out there in Philadelphia?
Yes, especially in the Center City, University City area.
Uh-huh.
Basically from the Delaware River west to about 48th Street, which is the kind of like the western end of the University of Pennsylvania. Very intense bicycling. You have a lot of messengers. We have about 200 messengers in the city.
Wow.
You have a very large food delivery business where people deliver food on bicycles.
Great.
Which is probably even larger than the messenger community, maybe about 500, we think. And you have a large contingency of bicycle commuters. And we're actually in the midst of a bike count right now, trying to figure out like the bicycle traffic levels at major streets in the few parts of town.
So these these bicycle food deliverers, are they contracted out? Do they contract out with the restaurants, or do the restaurants have their own bike food delivery services?
The restaurants have their own bike food delivery persons.
Wow, and that's really an active thing there, huh?
Yes. A lot of urban centers, I guess, have this. I mean, they kind of fall under, you know, there was an article, I guess, in Bicycling Magazine in the fall talking about invisible riders. And, you know, these people tend to be ones that aren't really counted in the census. It's a low-paying job and often an informal job, but it's a huge demand. I mean, if you want food delivered in Center City, Philadelphia, it's going to arrive by bicycle.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So that's a real, just a burgeoning type of lifestyle for some, huh?
Yes, but it was really kind of out of necessity. It's just impossible in the central business district. I mean, it's such a tight city, very densely packed.
Mm-hmm.
Our downtown is the third largest downtown in population-wise in the country, after New York and Chicago, even though we're like the sixth largest city. So our central business district is very tightly packed. If you were to, for example, run a pizza business and you relied on a motor vehicle to get your pizza delivered to a building on the 13th floor with no parking, you can see the obvious disadvantages of doing that.
Okay,
So the bicycle is recognized by the food industry that's the quickest way to get somewhere.
I don't.
And you'll see bicycle deliveries in all weather, snow, rain, every day of the year.
Huh? I don't know that to be the case. I've not really heard, like in New York City, for example, I've not heard that as being a real big workforce. Do you know what to be true?
Yeah, you'll
there?
You'll find that in New York too. I think it's the fact that this group really does fly under the radar.
Uh-huh.
And even people who are active in the cycling community might not even realize that this is a huge group that talks a lot of bicycle trips.
Okay, John, I spent almost a month in Boston interviewing cyclists there. We did a podcast called Audio Collage. I got, at least from the phone and from one of my own travels there, I didn't know, I never heard it come up in Boston, for example, anything about bicycle food deliverers. Are they there as well?
I would imagine, yeah, I'm pretty sure that they are. In fact, going back to New York City, Transportation Alternatives, which is our sister organization in Manhattan, they actually came out with bicycle safety posters that were in Spanish and in Mandarin. Mm-hmm. And the main group that they were targeting were working cyclists. Most of them are people who work in food stores, food delivery.
Okay, I'm going to go.
It's a very big thing in the mm-hmm. densest cities.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that here in San Francisco, I guess maybe because of the hills, I don't know food delivery to be a burgeoning type of employment opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know of really.
That could be a barrier, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, so at least I think that you've got it going on in Philadelphia, at least where that's concerned. I think Portland, Oregon, I don't know that I heard much about that up there as well either, you know.
Mm.
And Portland is supposed to be one of the preeminent biking cities around as well. They've got hills. You don't have a lot of hills in Philadelphia. Is that what I'm understanding?
Not in the central. It's fairly, Center City's flat.
Great.
The area out the University City, it's sort of a gentle climb,
mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that you would say is an unsurmountable hill. I mean, we're literally talking like a 1% grade if you're going west from the river.
Got it.
Okay. But yeah, for all practical purposes, it's flat for that 200 or so block area.
Huh. Wow. Okay. You said 200 miles of bike lanes like now.
Right.
Do these bike lanes actually get you places? Do they connect you?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
There are gaps, but 200 miles of bike lanes is for a city this size. Gives you fair coverage. I would say most people live within one mile of a bike lane. I think the overwhelming majority of people do. Except in Center City, the streets are still tight. There isn't enough width for bike lanes. And, in fact, we're actually trying to get the city to consider the San Francisco model of the what they call a SHARO, which is the bicycle symbol and the chevron, mm-hmm. to sort of alert cyclists and motorists to share the road and kind of directing cyclists to be sort of away from the door zone.
Right, exactly. Wow. Okay, now on the bike and report card you have on file with us here at BikeRoute.com, I see trails with bikes in the parks and river settings and things like that. Are these bike lanes, a lot of them, the 200 are on the streets? Actually on the street?
Yeah. We have 200 miles of on-road bike lanes, center line, which means that we're counting the bike lanes on both sides. It's not like we count a one-mile road as having 2 miles of bike lanes.
Right.
And there
Thank
are
you.
About 50 miles of trails at this point.
Okay. Now, you talked about the fact that you have kind of a funny system of the bike trails or bike lanes kind of being implemented, thrown down onto the stripings being made on the streets.
Right.
How about potholes or maintenance? Is that kind of an issue for the people that actually ride on the lanes? Are they well maintained, or how does that look for you?
Well, this is a huge issue. Maintenance is a very big issue. For a long time, the streets department wasn't sweeping the streets. They said they would sweep every street twice a year, and mm-hmm. you know, a lot of debris can build up in 6 months, and we don't even know. At some point, we didn't know if they were really sleeping twice a year. There are a couple of bridges here that, you know, that have bike lanes, such as the Great Surrey Avenue Bridge, that have been unbikeable, at least within the bike lane. You have to go in the travel lane, simply because they weren't being swept. Recently, partially in thanks to our Bicycle Advisory Task Force, Mayor Street has initiated the Operation Streets Program, where he's allocated about $1.5 million specifically geared towards pothole repair and other street maintenance. They have what they call now pothole killer trucks. You may have seen them. They're basically a mechanical thing that drills out the pothole and then fills it with gravel and oil and then moves on. Hmm. They can fill potholes very fast. The problem with these pothole killers machines is that they leave a lot of debris, a lot of gravel spreads out, and you know where it goes, basically in the bike lane.
Mm-hmm.
So street sweeping is a big part of this Operation Smooth Streets. We brought to their attention about the gravel and they've been very responsive. And this has only been in the past month or so that they've implemented this program, and we were already seeing results. People are calling in streets that are potholed or debris filled, and they're getting fixed. So we're very happy about the brand new program, but for a long time, it was definitely a problem.
So what are the motorists like out there?
They're very aggressive. We definitely have a compliance problem. We have an enforcement problem. Police are really focused on fighting crime, not regulating traffic. So there is a scofflaw mentality in the city, and it's probably one of the biggest barriers for bicycling in the city is that the respect for bicyclists and pedestrians is very low, and you really have to be assertive to bicycle, at least in the more congested parts of the town.
Well, let's talk about the Bike Coalition of Philadelphia. We've heard a lot of the stuff that you're kind of proactive about. What specifically are the programs that the Bike Coalition of Philadelphia is doing to make for better cycling in Philly?
Well, we've helped establish the Bicycle Advisory Task Force with the City Planning Department and the City Manager. That's been one of our sort of biggest victories in recent years. We're also working with the Delaware River Port Authority we've helped them establish a task force to discuss the access to the Ben Franklin Bridge walkway. We had the bridge was closed for many months after September 11th, citing security reasons, and it's helped galvanize the local population to keep the bridge open. And recently we've been able to actually meet with the top management at the bridge, and now we have an advisory committee to make sure that bridge stays open and help improve the access to the bridge. So there's a lot of work that has to be done there. On the education front, we run several urban cycling courses throughout the year, which are kind of like within the league's Road 1 course, but compressed down to 5.5 hours to make it sort of more palatable for people to attend. We also, in September, will be initiating our Bicycle Ambassador Program, which is modeled after the Chicago program.
Right.
We actually got a Transportation Enhancements Program grant to do that, and that will be a 3-year program. Hopefully we'll find the funding to keep going beyond that. We're very excited about Green Bike Ambassadors here because
yes.
Education, motorists, and cyclists is really needed, and the Bicycle Ambassadors give you that on-the-spot training that's so needed.
Wow. How big is your organization? How many members do you have?
Currently we have 1,700 members.
Wow. Okay.
We were established in 1972. And so we're one of the larger and older bicycle advocacy organizations in the country.
How would someone find you on the web, John?
You would go to our website, which is www.bicyclecoalition.org.
Bicyclecoalition.org. Great. And if someone were to join your bike coalition, what kinds of benefits are there for being a member? What do members get? What's in it for them?
Well, there's discounts at bike shops. We have a quarterly newsletter called the Cyclegram. We also have what we call regional cycling committees. This is the big area. We don't just do Philadelphia. We also cover the suburbs, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and the state of Delaware. And it's with about 600 municipalities mixed in there. And we really need cyclists to be active in the community they live in. So we have these regional cycling committees, which we have listservs and committee meetings and everything else that goes with that for the individual counties. And, of course, you're helping You know, we have a staff of four now, employees. So, you know, we're very dependent on membership contributions. So, you know, our role is to really make a difference here, and, you know, we're asking for people's support.
Sounds like you are. It sounds like you're really making a huge difference. Are there? I want to wrap up real soon here. It sounds to me, and I hadn't known this to be true, but it sounds like there's a lot of students in Philadelphia.
Yes, we are the second largest city as far as student populations after Boston.
After Boston. Okay. Wow. Right. Great. Okay. Well, you know, I'd love to talk at length with you about the Philadelphia Bike Coalition and about Philadelphia, but that's pretty much about all we have time for right now, John. Anything else you'd like to say as we wrap up?
Well, I guess the main thing is that ride your bicycle, and if you want to make change in your community, make sure you go to your town council or city council meetings and raise your hand and say, what about bicycles?
All right. Well, Guy, thanks for taking some time with us today, John. It's been a treat and an honor, and I'm sure we'll see each other next year when I get through into your town on my tour across the nation. But just, again, thanks, man. It's been a real treat.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you next year.
Okay, John. Thanks, Guy. See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, John, bye. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.